It's the Jerry Bader Show.
News, talk, sports. Okay, so an early programming note here. Today, of course, President Trump speaks to the UN Assembly. I remember historically with these in the Obama era, they're touchy. They're more ish than accurate. So I'm going to say 10:30-ish, with a lot more ish than 10:30. You know where I'm stealing that line from? MASH. Where a nurse, they're trying to hook radar up with a nurse, and she says, what does he look like? Well, he's Gary Cooper-ish. More ish than Cooper, but... I still love that line. But 10:30-ish. And obviously we have the news, we have commercial breaks, so Earl and I are going to try to circumnavigate that little temporal distortion, and we'll try to, well, we'll bring it to you. If it hits right at 10:30, which I just don't think it will, we're going to miss some of it. There's just, we haven't broken format or prepared with all the other people down the chain here to break format, so we won't be breaking format. That, you know, I understand you don't care, but we can't just decide we're going to carry something wall to wall. Unless it's truly breaking news, then obviously we can do that. And I should knock on for Micah here, because we haven't had a situation where we go into long stretch, you know, wall to wall coverage of a breaking event in quite a while. Now you know what I've just done. You know what I've just done, Earl, right? Anyway, so Earl's prepared now for wall-to-wall coverage of an unforeseen. We won't have the president because we'll be covering some other catastrophe. So I want to start with a really cool story. And then I want to get to Nancy Pelosi. But I want to start with a really cool story. This actually happened at Champs Sports Bar and Grill in Lake Geneva. I actually will be in Lake Geneva for a conference next month. Champs Sports Bar and Grill in Lake Geneva. So there's just a garden party going on, right? And Jonathan Landis, which sounds familiar, like the director's name or something, but he's a 42-year-old police officer. And he is a talented musician. And he sees the band and he recognizes a guy in the band as a friend and a fellow musician. So he kind of walks up real with arms folded like he's being a bad bleep cop. You know what I mean? And then he goes up and everyone's like, man, this blankety blank is going to shut down our party. What the heck? Goes up, requisitions the violin, and he does this. All right, you can fade the applause there, Earl. He just got an itch to play. He has been playing since he was three. In uniform, yeah. In uniform. That, you know, there's something called forward equity. You can't put a measure on how important that type of community outreach is. And he knew what people were thinking when he first walked up, grabs the fiddle, and sets that bad boy on fire. It was just, It's a great moment. It's gone viral. I'll try to post it on the blog, on the Bader blog. Just a really great moment. And he just, I mean, the near as I can tell, he heard the music. He saw somebody he knew in the band. And he thought, I can go light it up a little bit. You know what that tells me? Now, I'm going to wax philosophical here. And I don't know this. I'm just, you know what this tells me? And I've learned a thing or two in the last couple of years about true passions. You know what his true passion is? His true passion is music. And he's really good. Now, can he leave law enforcement and make a living as a musician? If he could, I guarantee he almost certainly would. But he needs to scratch that itch a lot more often. By the way, there's nothing wrong. I think this is awesome. And it is great that he did that. And I understand that his profession has a horrible perception image problem right now. A lot of it unfair. But unfortunately, we do hear stories of people in his profession. The guy in the Salt Lake City Hospital, that is just indefensible with the nurse. And here's what I think is the real lesson here. I said something about 10 years ago, and it becomes more and more prophetic with each day. I said there's going to come a time when if something isn't captured on video, then it didn't really happen. If you can say, here it is on video, then it didn't really happen. That's just, and that's a long time ago that I said that. And it is truer now than when I said it. And this shows the power of positive forward equity. When a law enforcement officer does something dubious, wrong, bad, it goes viral. This went viral. And I think there's a lesson not just for law enforcement, but for everybody there. I think of the time, this is several years ago, but it's at least 3 or 4 years ago. I was standing in line at the convenience store right down the street, Earl. I was standing in line with everyone else to get my lottery ticket. And there was a delivery guy with a button. It's like a scene out of a TV show. Bunch of boxes, you know, stacked up to his nose. Nobody will open the door for this guy. So I step out of my line. It was one of the big jackpots, you know, like the $700 million, whatever, $400 million. I don't think it had gotten that high back then, but, you know, like $300, $400 million. So I step out of line figuring I've got flexibility in my schedule. I can get at the end of the line, which I did, and I let the guy in. Guess what? Earl, he's what we in radio call a P1. He's a big listener to the Jerry Bader Show. By the time I got back to the office, I had a Facebook message saying, hey, Jerry, I'm the guy you opened the door. He recognized me. Now, I had a wrong thought back then. Oh, thank gosh I did the right thing. You know, because what if I sat there like a goof like everyone else in line? But that was the wrong way to think about that. I'm just glad I did the right thing, whether he knew me or not. And by the way, I'm not patting myself on the back. Back in that time, I could have just as easily stood there. But I thought, okay, nobody's going to open the door for this guy. Actually, no. You know what? That's not true. The point of bringing that up, again, not to pat myself on the back. Okay, what if someone had shot video of that line, I'm the only person probably that would be recognized in that line. Again, don't do it just to look good. That's not my point. My point is, though, get caught doing things right and doing things good for other people. I guarantee that this officer did this for the love of music, not because someone was going to capture. He may have thought about that. You always have to think about that these days. But he kind of, the way he does the bad dude thing, and, you know, it's obvious he was trying to have fun with the crowd. So I just, you know, I think it's just it's a nice lesson. It's just very cool. And wanted to share that with you. Now this, which is more in the wheelhouse of the show. So as you know, word leaked out that Democratic leaders Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, House and Senate respectively, at dinner with President Trump, and there was conversation of an immigration deal, which best that we know looks like this. And again, it was just a framework, a launching point for conversation. Is that some type of DREAM Act is passed, protecting this nearly 800,000 DREAMers from being deported. In exchange, President Trump does not pursue the coveted border wall now, but there are other increased security enforcement measures at the border, at the southern border. That's the framework for the template for a possible maybe a deal, okay? So how are those on the left? How are DREAMers receiving this? This is interesting. Wall Street Journal has a very short editorial piece on this. Now, Nancy Pelosi knows how Charles Murray or any conservative speaker at Berkeley feels. The House minority leader was confronted by angry protesters in San Francisco yesterday as she and two other California Democrats sought to explain her tentative agreement last week with President Trump to provide legal protection to young undocumented immigrants. The event was intended as a call for Congress to pass the DREAM Act that would protect some 700,000, closer to 800,000, so-called DREAMers from being deported. And you'd think that Mrs. Pelosi would be thanked for getting Mr. Trump to move off his campaign rhetoric and support legalization, especially when Democrats are in the minority on Capitol Hill. Actually, she convinced him of no such thing. President Trump, this was one of the things that he just wasn't honest about. He was never going to get rid of DACA. And he made that pretty clear shortly after election. That element he just wasn't honest about on the campaign trail. Anyway, but dozens of young people instead rushed the stage and began chanting, "We are not a bargaining chip. And all of us or none of us." That last phrase is interesting. All of us or none of us. What does that mean? More on that in a moment. They also demanded a clean bill without any provisions for additional border security, as Mr. Trump said he wants. In other words, they want open borders. They hate this deal because they want open borders. Perhaps before they're granted legal status, these kids should be required to understand how America works. If they want legal status under the U.S. Constitution, Congress must pass a law, and Republicans now have a majority. This requires compromise, and Mrs. Pelosi is trying to cut a deal that will stop these protesters from being deported. And then this is pretty biting for the Wall Street Journal. They're fortunate that a requirement of legal status isn't an IQ test. Ooh, that's quite a shot. Well, but it shows that they really want open borders. By the way, back to the topic of the officer of the violin and me holding the door for the guy. A very loyal caller and listener to the show. Never a wrong time to do the right thing. Never a right time to do the wrong thing. Yeah, it's an oldie, but a goodie. I mean, that's exactly what that story's about. It's exactly right. This shows you, though, why there is a lot of reluctance on the right. It is one thing to compromise and negotiate. And I think increased border security, a DREAM Act, and the wall comes later is fine. I actually don't have a problem with that deal. It is, however, it's a reversal from what he campaigned on pretty heavily. And what he said pretty recently, that the wall has to be part of a deal. But this shows you, though, when he is negotiating with Pelosi and Schumer, the pressures they are under. Even if they get to stay, all of us or none of us, well, then it might be none of you. Okay, did you consider that possibility? And I will tell you, there is much more hesitation. There is much more nervousness on the left. I said it yesterday. Who's dancing with the devil? Hard to tell. Because what I used to call the conservative base, but now I call the Trump base, doesn't really seem to care. Well, he can't work with those other guys, so he might as well work with the Democrats. That is not the sentiment on the other side of the aisle. As Leader Pelosi learned yesterday. And right next to that, there is a letter to the editor from someone in Aurora, Illinois, right next to the piece I just shared with you. Trump must govern, even if with Democrats. Your editorial, The Pelosi-Schumer-Trump Congress, speaks factually but misses the mark, belittling President Trump's deal on the federal debt ceiling, by the way, it's a different issue, by alleging it came out of pique at Republican congressional leaders, perpetuates media fixation with the president's emotions. Reality speaks otherwise in that the deal avoided a manufactured crisis, the debt ceiling, in the midst of two natural calamities, which is a valid point, except he gave up so much. And I disagree with this guy. It is because he's hacked off at Ryan and McConnell. I think that is a factor. He likes Chuck Schumer. Did you hear Schumer caught on a hot mic? He does. They've been friends for years. Back when Trump was a Democrat, by name, I mean. And I have no idea how this ends. I have no idea how far this goes. All right. So here's a rough roadmap, and it's really rough, of what the show is going to look like today. I have not spoken nearly enough about the shameful behavior of Brown County, not just Brown County, of county boards in northeast Wisconsin when it comes to the Back 40 mine. And this is going to come to a head now as Wisconsin looks to lift its mining moratorium. The Back 40, of course, across the border in the UP. I want to talk about that. And yesterday, Governor Walker signed the Foxconn deal, and it prompted Democrats and those others on the left to get in touch with their inner xenophobe. I'll make that clear. Foreign corporation. Heck, even the Flatlanders from down south are evil now, Earl. That strange, mysterious land south of Wisconsin. We'll get to all of that, and we will try to cover the president at the UN. It's 9 o'clock.
News, talk, sports.